Addysg Cymru Education Wales. The Minister for Education reveals his vision for the new curriculum for Wales and talks about the challenges and opportunities it presents as we move towards implementation from 2022.
The new curriculum really offers us the opportunity to reflect the aspirations of our young people in Wales. But I also think that the way in which it's been developed, I think, is absolutely a fantastic opportunity for the entire education system.
Hello, I'm Anita Shaw, and I'm delighted to welcome the Minister for Education and the Welsh Language, Jeremy Miles, to the podcast. Hello, Minister. Lovely to meet you.
Thanks for inviting me.
So before we get on with the main questions, I've got a question of my own. I hope that's okay with you.
Of course.
Given my scientific background, people are quite surprised that I also run a comedy club. What would surprise people about you?
Well, I've got nothing which is that exciting, I'm afraid to say. But I must come and visit the club. It sounds brilliant. But I suppose the thing which people might not know is that my first job when I left university was actually a teaching role, albeit at university, the University of Warsaw in Poland, which is a fascinating time to be in Poland. It's quite a long time ago at this point. But I'm completely in awe of people who choose teaching as a profession and open the opportunities up for our young people. I wasn't myself, I think, a huge success at it, but I enjoyed it and I admire people who are a success at it.
So you obviously had an early foray into education. And can you tell us about the importance of education to you?
Well, I think, you know, in a sense, it's all important. I very, very keenly aware, really, that all the opportunities that I've had in life have really been as a consequence of having a very, very solid founding in the education that I had, you know. So I went to the local village primary school, the Welsh language primary school in Pont y Ddylais, and then I went to Ystlyfera School in the Swansea Valley, which is in my constituency, and then I went to university at Oxford. And you know, I think in each of their different ways contributed very significantly to both the opportunities that I had and, you know, the kind of person I am, I suppose. And, you know, I want to make sure that everyone gets the best possible opportunity in terms of their education. And it's not solely and simply about opportunities, though that's very, very important. It's about that opportunity to, you know, read widely, to open your horizons, to think about things differently.
Minister, we just know there's so many questions to ask you from a variety of people within the education sphere. We're likely to run out of time on this podcast today. Can you commit to providing answers to those questions we don't get to today?
Yes, of course. I'm sure there's a lot of ground to cover in today's discussion, but I'll be very happy if there's anything we haven't been able to cover to follow up separately with you.
The new curriculum for Wales has been designed by a whole host of teachers as well as academic experts to prepare our young people to thrive in a rapidly changing world. But what are the most important aspects for you? What made you the most excited about it when you became Minister for Education and the Welsh Language?
Well, I think, you know, it is very, very important to me. And so that's why I was so excited, really, about the opportunity to become the Education Minister. We were just talking a moment ago about opening people's horizons. I mean, I think the new curriculum really offers us the opportunity to reflect the aspirations of our young people in Wales. Yes, by making sure they have a solid grounding in the core skills and core understandings around, you know, mathematics, languages, sciences and so on, but also that ability to make connections between different aspects of life, different aspects of the curriculum, which will, you know, cast the light on some of those bigger issues. So climate change, our sense of culture and community, those kind of broad themes that also sit in the curriculum. But I also think that, as you were saying in the question, the way in which it's been developed and continues to be developed, I think is absolutely a fantastic opportunity for the entire education system, really, that co-production. It's a very new way of working. This is a new big chapter, isn't it, for all of us? And I think that provides the most solid footing for us, I think, going forward.
So, Minister, COVID has affected all of us with a huge impact on schools. Having been out and about talking to staff, what impact do you think it has had on their readiness to implement the curriculum from 2022?
Well, I mean, obviously the last 18 months have been incredibly challenging in schools across Wales. And I think in particular, perhaps the last half term in many schools has been very, very difficult indeed. And, you know, I thank all our education workforce for everything they've been doing in extraordinarily challenging circumstances. I think in terms of readiness for the curriculum, there is a range of levels of readiness, I suppose. So different parts of the school system feel perhaps closer to being ready, if I can put it like that. We worked very hard over recent months to talk to practitioners, to gather their views. The general picture, I think, is that everyone is very enthusiastic about the curriculum and want to make it a success. And teachers obviously want to do the best possible job of introducing that to their pupils. And so I think it's for us to support teachers to be in that position, really. So I'm listening to what I'm being told about the additional support which we can provide, and have a kind of continuing discussion with our officials here about what we can do to further support our teachers. Some of that, I think, is about professional learning resources. There actually is an awful lot of that which is out there, and I think there's perhaps more we can do in helping practitioners find it, and find it in a way which is, you know, immediately relevant to what they are, what they're looking at. So I think there's some work to do around there. And I think the work of the National Network, which has just launched, will help, you know, practitioners and experts come together to think about approaches to the curriculum and how to think about resources and so on. So I think that will help shape the year ahead. I think it's really important, though, that we don't think of September 2022 as being, you know, the end of the story. I mean, it's obviously not. But I think there's probably a bit of a temptation to think that everything has to be in place at that point. And it's a process of evolution, isn't it? The curriculum itself will be rolled out over many years. But also, you know, that is itself an evolving process. So I think it's probably helpful for us to look at it a little bit like that as well.
Designing the curriculum with all partners involved was a complicated process. Will implementing it in all our schools be even more difficult?
Well, the fundamental principle behind the curriculum is that it empowers profession to meet the needs of our learners and better meet the needs of our learners over time. And I think we know, both from what practitioners say to us around how to raise standards, but also from the experience internationally, that process of empowering our professionals is absolutely central to that. I think in terms of the balance between what is mandatory and expected and what is then, you know, flexible and developed in school, the mandatory, you know, the four purposes, the 27 statements of what matters, the principles of progression, they apply obviously to all schools. And so the curriculum will be, you know, in that sense, broadly consistent across Wales, but with that flexibility to manage learning in the classroom and in the school itself.
You mentioned flexibility. Obviously, there will be lots of local flexibility. But how will you make sure that aspects like skills are delivered consistently across the country?
Well, you know, take an example around some of the progression work that we're doing. HUB has a set of resources there which set out the expectations that we have in terms of the national framework for the curriculum itself. So the expectations are clear. The resources are there to support teachers to make those judgments. So, you know, our task is to make sure those two things come together in a way which is helpful to our teachers. But it's also very important that no school should be developing its curriculum entirely in isolation from other schools. So, you know, I want to make sure that schools are working together in relation to this, both because that will ensure that there's a sort of shared understanding of some of the key concepts and key outcomes that the curriculum is driving towards, but also to make sure there's a set of consistent standards across the system. So that aspect of working together between schools, I think, is essential to this, really.
How will you ensure schools have a consistent understanding of progression so that pupils meet the national expectations?
Well, this is one of the, you know, newer parts of the curriculum, isn't it? So and progression for 3 to 16-year-olds will be taking place along a continuum of learning rather than in distinct stages, and so new assessment arrangements need to ensure that learners are making progress, if you like, at an appropriate pace along that continuum. So the expectations that we have for schools obviously are set out in the national framework for the curriculum that's being kept up to date continuously on HUB, and that framework contains a range of national expectations in relation to the mandatory four purposes, the statements of what matters, and aspects of the required subjects, if I can put it in those terms, of Welsh, English, RVE, RSE. And it also includes the mandatory principles of progression for schools, which they should use in designing and in realising the curriculum in their school. They were updated on HUB in September and offer guidance, I think, through descriptions of learning, which schools can then use for their continuum. We've had feedback from the profession, and so we are looking now at how we can enhance the support which is available to schools from this term onwards on this issue of learning progression and drawing on support from higher education in helping us do that.
A question about assessment next. The steps in the new curriculum are based on planning for AOLEs, what matters, etc., not outcome indicators. Do schools decide on assessment themselves?
Well, the short answer to that question is yes. Schools are going to be responsible for designing the curriculum and the assessment arrangements. So as your question was suggesting, the descriptions of learning at each of the progression steps will guide, if you like, the development of a curriculum with appropriate progression, and then should also be used to help develop assessment approaches which gather evidence of individual learning. So schools will need to assess learner progress in respect of the curriculum, identifying next steps, what the support is that's needed to move forward in their learning, looking at each individual's strengths, their achievements, but also, of course, areas for improvement and where there are any particular barriers to learning. The key thing, I think, in relation to assessment in the new curriculum is that it should not feel like a bolt-on, a separate dimension, but really, you know, a fundamental part of how the curriculum is designed and how it develops. So, you know, alongside day-to-day teaching, assessment is fully integrated into that experience.
So next question is on accountability and data requirements. Currently, there's no requirement for data and new systems are being developed. Can you tell me what primary schools are expected to do? What data will be required?
Yes, well, we're moving away from a curriculum which is based on phases and national collection and aggregation of standardised assessment data. We've just been talking about schools integrating assessment into the curriculum design and development. And so each school's assessment will look differently in that sense. So there won't be that national collection of that sort of assessment. So, but some data obviously will still be required. So around learner numbers, characteristics of learners, attendance, school workforce, all of that is obviously going to be important going forward. And schools will also continue to provide information to the local community. So that's reports to parents, governor's reports, development plans. So those will all be very important features of the new system. We will be introducing new evaluation, improvement and accountability arrangements. We've been consulting on that recently, as you'll know. And we're also conducting a piece of research on the future data and information requirements, if you like, in relation to transparency in the system, but also to support self-evaluation and accountability.
We've got a question now on additional learning needs reform. Is it fair to our schools to introduce these reforms at the same time as curriculum reform, as there's so much to do?
Yes, there is a lot, obviously, to do in introducing both those significant reforms. But both the ALN system and the new curriculum have been aligned, really, to deliver that inclusive, equitable system, equitable to all our learners that we all want to see. That said, in talking to stakeholders right across the education sector, we obviously understand the pressures that schools have been under. And so the arrangements for implementing the Act have been adapted, responding to what our partners who are responsible for delivering the reforms on the ground, if you like, have been saying, to provide more time to plan and manage. So in the first year of implementation, which we're in now, we've introduced a staged implementation, so different cohorts of children and young people enter the system at different points in the year. And we're also talking to our partners about what the second and the third year of the ALN rollout look like in order to make sure that it happens in the most successful way possible. But I think what has been clear, you know, over the last 18 months perhaps in particular, is how important it is that we bring forward those reforms which will support our learners with additional learning needs into the future.
What do we do if secondary schools are unwilling to engage with their primary schools? For example, where a secondary school is delaying its own implementation until 2023?
Well, as I was saying a little bit earlier, I think it's very important that no school is developing its curriculum in a standalone way, and that it, you know, all schools ought to be able to work with other schools in order to bring forward the reforms of the curriculum. I haven't myself heard of any significant issues about engagement between primaries and secondaries on this question of development. And I actually do know of several examples of it working well. But if there are practical challenges of the way that you're describing, I would encourage schools to try and resolve that through dialogue, firstly, obviously. But if that isn't working, then I think schools should speak to their regions or their local education authorities for support in putting those arrangements in place. The overall timetable for curriculum implementation hasn't changed. So I would expect that secondaries are considering their curriculum development plans, now, in a sense, regardless of the point at which they decide to start rolling that out. Some secondaries, no doubt, will start in 2022, others in 2023. But that choice oughtn't really to be meaning that there isn't engagement happening in any case.
And finally now for a question about holidays. So this is the direct question. At our school, we wondered if 6 weeks holiday in the summer is too much, especially at this difficult time. Pupils and staff may benefit from it being shorter, with half terms being 2 weeks long.
Well, it's a good question, and it's, I think, quite a topical question, quite a timely question. As a government, we've set out in our programme for government, which we published in June, a commitment to explore reform of the school year and the school day as well, actually. We haven't had, I think, a proper conversation about this for some time, and I think things move on, don't they? And I think in particular, perhaps, we've learnt quite a lot over the course of the last 18 months about different ways of organising things. Had a lot of conversations with education staff, with learners, with their families, who, essentially share the point of view which your questioner was setting out there, really. So what I'm planning on doing in the new year is a set of conversations around this question. There'll be a range of views on it, obviously, but I want to make sure it's an inclusive conversation. So I want to hear the voice of learners, of parents and carers, of teachers, the education workforce more broadly, and all the partners that we have in the education system. And also these decisions will best be made when all those views have been taken into account, obviously. But they also have impact elsewhere, don't they, on our lives in other ways. So it'll be really important to have that broad discussion about it. But there are many ways of doing this, of, making sure terms are perhaps more consistent and the gaps between terms more consistent. And we'll be looking at what we can do to take that forward.
Well, we've run out of time, Minister, I'm afraid. But thank you so much for answering our questions today so openly.
It's been great. Thank you for inviting me.
Questions we didn't get to today were about assessment and communication. And as the Minister said, all of these will be answered. You can find them on the Curriculum for Wales blog. So do take a look. This is a series for people who work in education in Wales. So if you liked what you heard, don't forget to tell your peers. To stay in touch with the big changes happening in Welsh education, click subscribe on your favourite podcast app and get every new episode of this series for free, downloaded to your phone when it's published. At this Cymru, Education Wales is presented by me, Anita Shaw. It's a Welsh Government production.